Well, certainly is a highlight for Pastor Brian and I to get to come up here and speak to you this morning, kind of taking the theme of Vacation Bible School and wrapping a message around it. And we've been doing this together now for several years, and it's exciting to be here again with Brian. This is kind of his last task here with Mount Horeb, and as he starts a new ministry up in Prosperity. But Brian, it's good to work with you, and I know we've got we've been given a wonderful message throughout this week at Vacation Bible School.
Vacation Bible School is always a highlight here, and we always have our Bible lessons as the kids learn and they interact with. And this week, we had five of those lessons that we learned. The first of those was Jesus Gives Us Hope. The 9 o'clock was a little better.
So let's take it up a notch here, okay?
Day two was Jesus Gives Us Courage.
There you go.
They're getting there. Third was Jesus Gives Us Direction. And fourth was Jesus Gives Us Love. And then on the last day, Jesus Gives Us Power. The theme of this year's Vacation Bible School was Cave Quest, and so we talked a lot about shining the light of Christ in dark areas. We talked a lot about caves and exploring caves, and we also talked about cave-like experiences in life, how oftentimes we go through life and we have those times where we don't often see light. It seems dark. It seems almost like we're in a cave. St. John of the Cross, one of the great Christian writers, talked about a time known as the dark night of the soul. And every Christian, no matter how devout they are, often goes through those times when they're in almost a figurative cave and they need to see God's light. We've all been there. We've all experienced that darkness, even though we believe in the light of Jesus Christ. We've all had those figurative cave-like times, but probably none of us have really been trapped or stuck in a cave for a long period of time. As Jeff and I were preparing this message, he reminded me in 2010 of a cave-life experience for 33 individuals in the country of Chile. There was a mine disaster, a mine collapse in a copper mine there. And it trapped 33 of the miners almost 2,000 feet below the surface of the earth. You can imagine as they were trapped down there, they looked for ways of escape, as did people from the top. They were trying to figure out, first of all, were the men still alive? And if so, how could they get them out? And so after the collapse, they began to drill holes in the ground. Probes, so to speak, into possible areas that might be able to sustain life for the miners for just a few days. But as the days went on, those probes became not so much rescue probes, but recovery probes, as they thought after 3 or 4 days, there's no way the miners could be alive. On day 17, one of the probes went into the ground into an area that was they thought might be a possibility where they would have huddled to try to survive, and after the probe was in, they heard nothing, experienced nothing, but when the drill came out of the ground, there was actually a note taped to the end of the drill, and it said, 33 of us are still alive. After 17 days, it seemed to be a miracle. And so what they decided to do is they could use that hole to actually provide supplies to them, and then they came up with a rescue plan. And people from all over the world gathered. NASA was even called in to help with the escape plan. And they decided to drill a shaft about 24 inches in diameter into that rescue room where all the miners had huddled. And they designed a specially developed rescue pod that could be lowered down. It would take about 15 minutes to get down. And then they could put one miner at a time and bring them out another 15 minutes to the surface. It was amazing what these miners went through because they weren't rescued for a total of 69 days. 69 days in a cave-like experience, literally. Most of us have never been there, I assume. But figuratively, we've been there, right, in a cave-like experience. And that's probably the experience that was similar to David, King David, when he wrote Psalm 40.
You know, Psalm 40 is, David writes, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. Oh, Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. As Brian described this horrific accident, an amazing rescue, that we realize that all of us at times find ourselves in a pit, you know, a dark place, a place where we feel overwhelmed. I love what the late Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis said to his frustrated and impatient daughter. My dear, if you would only recognize that life is hard, things would be much easier for you. You know, life is hard, is it not? There are times that things happen to us that are hard, and we find ourselves in a cave-like experience. Now, these miners had some decisions to make if they were going to survive this tragedy, this collapsed mine. If everyone ever get out of the cave, they had to make some choices. So we're going to give you several of those this morning as a little bit of a teaching time. You know, these men had to realize they were lost. They were lost. They were helpless. There was no way out. 2,000 feet beneath the earth, and they needed help. You know, now we don't know why these miners are trapped. Might have been an explosion. The mine might have collapsed. It's not clear why David was in a pit. It can be caused by consequences of bad choices. It can be caused by sins that we might have committed. It can be simply trials and tribulations. We can be in a pit because someone else caused us to be there. You know, in the Bible, Joseph, for example, was falsely accused and arrested and thrown into prison. It could be poor health. It could be a broken relationship. But you're in a dark place. You're in a pit. You're in trouble. And you feel overwhelmed. And you don't know the way out. One of the neat things about Bible school is that we get to share the message of hope with children. And we don't all understand some of the places those children come from. We know that there were children this week who didn't have electricity. There are children that came to Bible school that were hungry. And some of our volunteers took time to feed them meals while they were here. There are people that were living with a lot of other people, just trying to survive and get through things. You know, maybe you're feeling like you're just trying to survive. You've got this this darkness is overwhelming you. You feel like you're in a deep, dark pit. We want you to know that there is hope. One of the great lessons of Bible school is Jesus gives us hope, and that Jesus is the light of the world. And John chapter 1 says, the light, God's light, shines into the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So this morning, if you feel lost, know that there is a light. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, wants to shine into your life and wants to give you hope. The second thing these miners had to do is they had to realize to call out for help. They had to invite help. And they tried to establish communication. And they tried all they could to establish communication, but they ultimately had to depend upon outside help to get them the help they needed, to get them the communication they needed. You know, the good news is the Bible tells us that God has drilled down into this earth. He has come into creation with his word. We've been given a Bible to have as a guide from God, that Jesus sent his son into this world. And my experience has been that when we were in a pit, you know, I used to think that when you're in a dark place, that God would shine a light and show you the way out. I really believe that Scripture says that God comes into the pit with you, that God gets right down into the mess with you and then walks you out of it and walks with you as you climb out of the situation. You know, David, in the psalm, he called out to God first. And I'm sure that when that collapse happened for the miners, their first plea was to God. Oh, God, you got to get us out of here. But, you know, there are so many people that find themselves in a dark place. Maybe today you're here and you feel overwhelmed. And we seek help from everywhere and everyone except God. We think if we can meet the right person, you know, they'll get me out of this mess. If I can find the right job, if I can move to the right town, if I could just win the lottery, whatever it is, we try to find help from everywhere but God. And one of the great lessons of Bible school, our children learned throughout the week that the first place you go is to God, and that Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the light that leads us out. You know, I love what David declares. He says, oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord. There is joy in trusting the Lord. Who have no confidence, he says, in the proud or those who worship idols. You know, we need to cry out to God because all of us have been lost and all of us need to invite.
Another thing we can learn from those miners is once the tragedy happened, they immediately gathered all knowledge and resources they could possibly gather about their current situation. They were in a rescue room, which was roughly a little over 500 square feet for 33 men. They actually had a tunnel adjacent that they had access to, about a kilometer and a half long. And they would send miners out to go gather information, any possible means of escape, any ventilation shafts, any resources that we can use or that we need. They actually found some emergency supplies there. Should have lasted them only 2 to 3 days. They actually lasted over 2 weeks, and they had just run out of supplies on day 17 when that drill bit came through, establishing communications and establishing a way to get more supplies down to them in their current situation. But they just didn't gather in the mine. That was going on above the mine as well, as the experts gathered from all over the world to try to get together and to find out what's the best way to try to rescue these 33 men below the surface of the earth. It's important that they gathered, took all their knowledge. They even looked at the history of rescues in mines dating back to even, you know, the World War II era, and what's the best system to be devised to remove these men from the ground. It's amazing what happens when we gather all that we have and what can happen. I look at Vacation Bible School, and Jeff pointed me to the Facebook page that if you go there, our church Facebook page will tell you how many gallons of ice cream were consumed a day. I think it was close to 50. 135 gallons of lemonade. 25,000 cheese cubes were consumed. You know, but it's not just the physical resources as well. When you look at the artwork and everything that's done just to create the environment here, people who have artistic abilities gave of their time and talents to come and make that happen, as did people who served in the parking lot, people who put together the snacks, people who worked in the crafts, people who were crew guides. Our crew guides are some of our most important people because they have the ability to connect with kids. When we get together, when we gather together and use the best of our resources and the best of our talents and gifts that God has given us, it's amazing what can take place. And I'm often reminded how often, whenever we're called to do a task by God, too often we look at not at what we've got, but what we have not. Moses was called by God to do a great thing, to lead the people out of Egypt, and Moses was reluctant. He said, I can't do it. They won't believe me. I'm slow of speech. Send somebody else. What was God's response to him? What do you have in your hand? And it was a staff. And when Moses threw it down, it became a serpent. And when he picked it up, it became a staff again. And God said, what you have is not just a staff, it's the power. The power of the Almighty God is backing you. And we've got to look at what we've got as well. When we step forward into a task that is seemingly impossible, we need to be reminded that we always have the power of the Almighty God behind us. We need to gather and rely on those resources to accomplish our task. They also then had to learn in the bottom of that mine to help one another. 69 days in darkness. 69 days in a small area with 32 other men. You can imagine you would have some bad days. In fact, all of them had bad days. But not everyone had a bad day on the same day. When certain people were feeling the pressure, the stress, the anxiety, and thought it was all hopeless, the others would come alongside and encourage and support and remind them that there was a plan in place, that they were working on their escape, and if they would just hold on, they could make it. And it was interesting how one day the person encouraging might be the one who needed to be encouraged the very next day. We need to be there to help one another. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about how two are better than one, because when one falls, the other can help him out. That took place in the mind, and it takes place in our lives as well. As I said earlier, I think we all go through those dark periods in our walk with Jesus and our walk through life. And yet, when we have a small group to rely upon, when we have a Sunday school class, we have a group of close-knit people who can come alongside us during those dark times to help us through those, it can help us get through the experience in so much better shape. That's why small groups are important. That's why in Vacation Bible School we put the kids in crews, and why crew guides are so important is because we get in those small groups and we learn to help one another as we walk through this journey of life so we can get through the tough times and get on through to the good times.
So again, to find your way out of the pit is recognize that you're lost. Invite God into the mess with you. Gather your resources, help each other out. But then bottom line, you got to trust God. You got to trust God. You know, Brian, when you and I are, I'm sure, counseling with people, and we can go over these, you know, finding out you're lost and inviting God into everything and gathering your resources and going to counseling and finding the help that you need. But bottom line, you got to trust God that's going to get you through this, that God is faithful to guide us. You know, these miners had to trust that there was a power greater than them that was going to get them out of that dark place 2,000 feet below the earth. You know, these experts put together this great system to rescue the miners. But I want you to know that you need to trust God has a rescue plan, that God didn't send a system, but God sent a Savior. God didn't send a pod to earth. He sent a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, his Son, who is the light of the world, who has the power to rescue us. You know, I believe that Psalm 40 is as much an affirmation of faith as it is a cry to help, that David is declaring that I trust God to deliver me. And so this morning, I just invite you to trust God, to take a leap of faith. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, then mountains can be moved. Mountains can be moved to get you out of the pit you find yourself in. And I believe that when you trust God, some things are going to happen. The first thing is going to be you're going to discover peace. You know, Jesus said, I've come to give you peace, not as the world gives you, but as only God can give you, the peace of God that passes all understanding. We learned in Bible school that with trusting God, he provides a path. Day 3 radar told us that Jesus gives us direction. So what we got to do? We got to follow him, right? He gives us direction. We got to follow him. And it requires obedience. You know, David said, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart, knowing the path, which way to go. And again, know this, that God will walk with you down the path. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. peace, path, and then power. We learned that Jesus gives us power. I'm about to lose you, I can tell. Jesus gives us power to trust that God has a plan. All right, Jesus gives you power. There we go. I got to get with the program here. To trust that God has the power. And then last of all, I would say to you this morning, as you learn to trust God and discover peace and discover a path, discover that His power, then you got to praise Him. And that's why today is a celebration. Today's a celebration. We come together and praise God. David said it this way, He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. You see, whenever you praise God for getting you out of the pit, those who are in the pit will see there's hope. And God wants to use you to show them the power of God. God may use you to show them the path and how to discover peace. You know, God wants to deliver somebody today. Somebody here today throughout the morning feels overwhelmed in darkness. Will you trust in God? Will you invite God into your life? You know, I read a devotion yesterday that really spoke to me, defining the difference between mercy and grace. You know, mercy is what God gives to us in the pit. It's His mercy, His kindness. It's forgiveness for all the things we've done in our past. Grace that He gives us is the power to change the future. Grace is God's power to change your future. And we need both. We need mercy for the past, and we need grace for the future. This morning, will you trust in His grace to give you a new future? Will you allow His mercy to wash over you and pull you with His help and power out of the pit? Gracious God, I thank You that we have been here in Your house, and our children have sung, and they have spoken, they've affirmed their faith. I pray that as You speak to people today, that You would provide Your Holy Spirit to give help, and You would provide Your Holy Spirit to offer hope. And I pray for that person right now that's feeling hopeless and feel like they just can't get out of the mess they're in. Father God, give them the courage to invite You into their mess. And Lord God, I pray that You would just wash over them with Your power, and Your light would show them the way to peace and Your purpose for their life. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.